If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase 2. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
What needs to happen that's different this year than all the years before?
We're looking for a guilty verdict. We're looking for a guilty verdict.
Shopping.
And we're looking to see if all of the talk that took place and has been taking place after they saw what happened to George Floyd, if nothing does not happen, then we know that we've got to not only stay in the street, but we've got to fight for justice. But I am very hopeful, and I hope that we're going to get a verdict that is say guilty, guilty, guilty. And if we don't, we cannot go away.
And not just manslaughter, right? I mean...
Oh, no, not manslaughter. No. This is guilty for murder. I don't know whether it's in the first degree, but as far as I'm concerned...
Oh, my gosh, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
What happens if we do not get what you just told? What should the people do? What should protesters on the street do?
I didn't hear you.
What happens...
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street. And we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational.
Oh.
We've got to make sure that
I was reliably informed that this was insurrectionism.
Yeah.
I mean, I was told by people just saying that this was insurrectionism. Just an FYI. Just that's Maxine Waters, who sounded like she was going shopping.
Yeah.
I want a guilty verdict, and I would also love some curly fries. So good. It's Monday, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Dana Lash, danalash.com. Sign up. I have, so please don't get mad, but you're going to get 3 newsletters tonight. I'm waiting to send one off, and then the one I'm finishing, and then I have all the prep stuff. So they're very different. They're very different things. So make sure you sign up, because you're definitely gonna want all of them. And it's Monday. We got through last week. We're gonna get through this week too. Welcome to the show. I'm gonna warn you now. I forgot to work out literally the left upper side of my body this morning. So if I fall out of my chair, A, and then secondly, normally I only have 1 cup of coffee, and I'm like, let's just have another cup. Let's just make it black like my heart. And so I don't know what's going to happen throughout the show. I have no clue what's going to happen.
Uh-oh.
Cannot be held responsible. And I had Super Beats, my chews. So I am not at all responsible for literally anything that's going to happen. We need to have common sense discussions, common sense reforms on coffee. Okay. So that's Maxine Waters, who I just think if you're going to be an elected official, and you're going to go out in the middle of a riot or a protest, that's a protest there. So nobody's burning anything down or beating anybody up there. So that's just, you know, nice little happy protest. But, you know, I'm just saying that if you're going to go out in the middle of this and you're going to demand things that you would like, maybe make sure that they exist. Because she says, no, we don't want manslaughter. We want murder, a murder charge. Well, it's not a murder charge. And here's why. I can't believe I have to say this to a woman who is old enough to A, be my grandmother, and B, who is an elected official in Congress. So you would just immediately assume that she would understand the law on this, being that she is a policymaker. But it's manslaughter. It's not murder. It's not murder one. It's manslaughter. And the reason being is because there was no premeditation involved. And that is necessary to even contemplate a murder charge. So that is why there isn't a murder charge because there is no evidence to suggest that in the days leading up to George Floyd's death that Derek Chauvin was out there planning how he specifically was going to murder George Floyd. There's nothing to that. So that is why it's manslaughter or not murder. And for her to go out there and say that, it's like you're ratcheting up people's expectations of something that is not even in play. That is irresponsible. And why the hell is she wearing two things on her face? And why is one of them a pattern of animal that does not exist in nature? I'm going maybe too far, but I just, that to me was so irresponsible. Meanwhile, you have Ron DeSantis who's like, yeah, if you riot, you're going to jail. And you're going to go spend time in jail. And if you assault police in a violent assembly, you're definitely going to jail. You burn down someone's business. Guess what? Did you say going to jail? That's right. By the way, that's almost a direct quote, except for that very last part. I'm not even exaggerating. That's from the Florida Sun Sentinel. I feel like Ron DeSantis is trying to become my best friend. Right? This is how the DeSantis fam gets on my Christmas card A-list. And by Christmas card A-list means I sometimes send them out. And then when I send them out, they're over the top and ridiculous to make up for all the times that I didn't. And then you won't hear from me again for 5 years. So that's kind of how that works. But I'm just saying, this is how we become best friends. So I just wanted to contrast what Maxine Waters was saying there with how Ron DeSantis has been handling this. He's like, you know, if you play the violent burn stuff down game, you're going to win the prize of jail. It's amazing. Amazing how that works. So the closing arguments in the Chauvin trial are taking place today. It's been going on all morning. And I wanted to ask you guys this. I didn't put it in Slack because I wanted to get your reaction on air. I swear it's just totally vanilla. Why is it on all the cable news channels? The closing arguments. Like, I would understand maybe the judge reading a verdict, but for the entirety of the morning, it has been the closing arguments. And it almost feels like it's like everything is saturated. They're saturating it for maximum impact. I don't know what to make of this. I don't know. Do you think that they should be carrying it, Kane? Should they carry the closing arguments, the whole thing like that,
I think the bulk of everyone wants to know what the verdict is, right? Mm-hmm. So there are people that have already made up their minds on both sides of the fence on this thing.
Right.
So the closing arguments for me, I think for the bulk of people, will probably not matter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just like that. I think people want to know what the decision is. That's what I think. They want to know what the decision is. And that's ultimately it. I mean, I wouldn't mind hearing the judge's decision, but oh my gosh, anything beyond that. I mean, it's been hours of this so far. So that's one of the things that we are watching this morning is the latest with the Chauvin trial. And like I said, they've been having the closing arguments, and I guess we're going to have a decision today. I can't imagine it going beyond today. I mean, that would be, because to me, I think it's either way, it's going to be, they either think that he's guilty or they think that he's not guilty. I mean, at this point, it doesn't seem like, and this is me pretending to be a lawyer, it doesn't seem to be like that difficult or of a case to where you're going to have everybody adjourn and they're in recess and they're deliberating this and they haven't come out yet and it goes for days. You know, do you remember back? I just remember when I was a kid, whenever there was a big trial like this, I'm like, where's the jury? The jury's gone forever. They are deliberating for days and days. How long did it take for them to deliberate on OJ? You remember that? It seemed like it took a while. And then there were another couple of cases. Who were those crazy twin brothers that like killed their parents or something?
Oh, the Menendez?
Yes, the Menendez brothers. Didn't the jury deliberate for a little bit in that?
I think so.
Yeah, and they like couldn't talk to anyone, and that fascinated me as a kid because I'm like, you can't even talk to your family? That's nuts. You can't even talk. You can't even like reach out to. That's crazy because they don't want you to be influenced, right? Weird. Very weird. So I don't know how quickly this is. We're going to talk a little bit about this, and I'll have some stuff to share with you. But as it comes in. We shall follow it. Also, the latest as it relates to the Rona. So I'm going to be talking about Fauci also in relation to some 2A stuff today, because I have to give you the latest rundown on that. But can we play audio soundbite 5, please? Because I'm made of questions on this.
Mm-hmm. The first thing you got to realize that when you get vaccinated, your risk of getting infected dramatically diminishes and is very low. So then the obvious question is, why are there any restrictions? They're all because in a certain situation, one can get vaccinated, have no clinical disease at all, but get infected and not even know it, and have replication of virus in your nasopharynx and inadvertently transmit it to somebody else who might actually be unvaccinated and get ill.
Yeah, we're going to have a discussion on this, because he says, well, yes, vaccinated people can still inadvertently infect others. That to me seems a little bit anti-science. That's just odd to me. It's odd to me because we understand that Even if they said that you were to get it even after the vaccination, the case is incredibly mild. I just think if you're unvaccinated, you're assuming the risks of going out and being unvaccinated. But this idea that this is what is driving people's suspicion of getting vaccinated, because they think, well, why does this vaccination work differently from every other vaccination? I mean, when you get a vaccination for, you know, something else like measles and that, you don't stay inside because you're worried about going outside. That's not how this works. This is what makes reasonable people suspicious about this stuff. We're going to talk about that. Also, apparently, Fauci is now weighing in on the gun control debate. Not even joking, because, you know, that's an area of expertise within it. Oh, we'll talk about that. Don't get it now. That's an area of expertise with an immunologist. Also, today in history, on this day, 246 years ago, on this day, this very day, this April 19th, 1775, the American War for Independence began at Lexington and Concord with the shot heard round the world. Now, if you do remember, this was after the amazing ride of William Dawes and Paul Revere, and they went riding through the countryside telling everyone the British are coming, because they definitely were coming. And you had General Gage, who was going to send, I think, he's sending 1,000 troops over to Lexington and Concord, General Thomas Gage. And he had orders to arrest Sam Adams and John Hancock, because he was told that they were hiding out near Lexington and Concord, and that the colonists had amassed a ton of guns and munitions. They had all these things. And so he thought that the colonists would run at the sight of redcoats, and he had such a low opinion of the colonists and a low opinion of their belief to fight or in their will to fight. But he wanted to minimize bloodshed, so he thought he'd just send these troops out in the evening, catch them off guard, send and all of that. But he did not anticipate the cleverness and the guerrilla tactics of the revolutionaries. And so when British troops advanced on that fateful spot, they were met by the aptly named Minutemen. And the first to arrive, ready at a minute's notice. And a British major had shouted, according to history, "Throw down your arms, ye villains, ye rebels." And John Parker, who was captain of the Minutemen assembled, said, quote, "Stand your ground. Don't fire unless fired upon. But if they mean to have a war, let it begin here." And then a shot was fired, marking the official start of the American War for Independence. And I just think it's very, very interesting how history likes to align things. And it's also very interesting to note in this cancel culture SJW environment in which we live now, the first fatality in the War of Independence was Crispus Attucks. He was a dock worker who stood there in the Boston Square in front line, standing off against 50 British soldiers. And he was the first American colonist to give his life for the cause of freedom, a black American colonist who gave his life for the cause of freedom. And that is this day in history. If you haven't tried Super Beats Heart Chews, you're missing out. Super Beats Heart Chews are a delicious way that you can support your heart health. Super Beats Chews combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without the jittery caffeine or stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, to get the blood pressure support that you need and the energy that you want. Support your heart health with delicious Super Beats Heart Chews. Get your Super Beats Chews today at danasbeats.com. And when you buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. That's danasbeats.com to get a free bag of Super Beats Heart Chews when you purchase too. Support your heart health with Super Beats Heart Chews, available at danasbeats.com. That's danasbeats.com.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick 5, brought to you by Caltech.
So no one is still dying in Texas since they decided to rescind the mask mandate. No one. In fact, the deaths per day, fatalities per day, has dropped to, oh my gosh, it's, I mean, a crazy, I'm just looking at charts and graphs here. But they said the daily fatalities has dropped to, essentially, it's like what, we're almost like what it was before the pandemic. But everyone was freaking out, saying that it was going to turn into a, like, murder state. Because the mask resend, but that hasn't happened. It hasn't happened at all. So get this. Apple has now said that they're going to let Parler back on the App Store. Of course, this is after they crushed Parler. Now they're going to let them back on the App Store. Cancel culture is being blamed in the death of a choreographer. This ballet dancer, he's a British choreographer. And apparently directors were too scared to put on his shows. He was reportedly falsely accused of sexual misconduct, and he couldn't apparently handle it, and he committed suicide. It was involved the Royal Opera, the Royal Ballet School, etc., and a couple of other issues. But the American Ballet Theatre's artist in residence, Alexei Radomansky, good heavens. The court of public opinion is not an actual court. Black Panther's director is not going to boycott Georgia. He says, I'm not going to cost a bunch of people their jobs for leaving. Ryan Coogler. He said he's going to continue shooting the film in Georgia. Good on him. Stick with us. A lot more in store.
The Biden administration keeps saying there's a challenge at the border, but not a crisis. If President Biden and Vice President Harris were willing to come down and see what I've seen, they would know it's a major crisis. If they were willing to admit it. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest edition of The Sarah Carter Show, I'll give you the real story from my own reporting at the border, and I speak with Chris Cabrera of the National Border Patrol Council. Please join us. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
About another epidemic in the U.S., and that is gun violence. 8 people were shot and killed in a mass shooting in Indianapolis on Thursday night. The U.S. has reported 47 mass shootings in just over a month. You've worked in public health broadly for a long time. Is gun violence in the U.S. a public health emergency?
You know, myself as a public health person, I think you can't run away from that. I mean, when you see people getting killed, I mean, in this last month, it's just been horrifying what's happened. How can you say that's not a public health issue?
Really easily, I can say that it's actually not a public health issue. And it's not a public health issue, Dr. Fauci, because criminal usage of inanimate objects is largely an issue of a weakened justice system, lowered deterrence. That's why. Classifying something as a public health issue just to control it isn't science. And that's where we are. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Good to be with you guys today. We're going to have a nice little happy Monday. A little happy Monday. Paint some happy little trees, right? If you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. I'm drinking black coffee. You know, I'm about to just, my crack level's about to go to 11. Yeah, that's, no. Why are they even asking him about this? That's like, can you imagine? And I'm going to go back to this because I can't tell you how many emails that I've had where people are like, you know, when you say that hearing some of these people talk about guns is like listening to you talk about football, there has never been a better analogy on this earth ever, nor will there ever be. The perfect analogy doesn't exist. Oh, there's Dana talking about football. It's true. Can you imagine me being on cable news and they're like, Dana? So I don't even know what I would ask myself. Ask me a football question. One of you, Steve Kane, make up a football question. Ask me something football. You're the interviewer on cable.
How many
news.
Downs does any team have before it resets if they don't reach their 10-yard goal?
How many downs does a team
get?
Does a team get before it sets the?
Yeah, right. Before it resets when they get 10 yards, right? So how many downs? How many chances do they have before?
All right, I'm going to let you peek into my mind to see how I think. Well, I have no blanking idea. So I'm going to go with a number that is an even number because I believe that all digits should have friends. So I like even numbers because it's
such as
symmetrical,
maps,
such as math.
Such as?
10?
Wow, that was really, really wrong.
It's like way the opposite way. Higher? Is that 20 downs?
Less than half of that.
What, 20 downs.
What down do you punt on?
What? Is that here's my question. And again, for those just joining, we're doing a live experiment because when you ask Dr. Fauci about guns, it's just like asking me about football. Is a down the same thing as one of those yard lines? It is.
It is not.
No.
A down is not the same as.
Is it a collection
line.
Of them?
It is
10 yards.
No.
I know nothing about football. It's so how many. What did you ask me, Steve? How many downs
does a team have to get
to get 10 yards?
How many chances?
Two?
Man.
Five.
You're
15.
Way cold now.
Eight.
You were close there with five.
One.
No, you were super warm with
four.
Five.
Four's down. There we
four?
Go.
There it is.
Yay! So that's exactly what it's like hearing Anthony Fauci talk about
guns.
Coach,
we don't have whack bat where I'm from. What are the rules?
There's no whack bat on the other side of the river?
No, we mostly just run grass sprints or play acorns.
Huh. Well, it's real simple. Basically, there's three grabbers, three taggers, five twig runners, and the player at whack bat. The center tagger lights a pine cone, chucks it over the basket, and the whack batter tries to hit the cedar stick off the cross rock. Mm-hmm. Then the twig runners dash back and forth until the pine cone burns out and the umpire calls hot box. Finally, at the end, you count up however many score downs it adds up to and divide that by 9.
Got it.
Yeah. See, so I understand
like
that. I get that. I mean, I totally get that. It's based on a cricket bat, too. Did you know that? The whack bat?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See, I could play whack bat. I actually understand that better. And I don't know if it was just because Owen Wilson was explaining it or not. Just because it's funnier. Like, I don't know. But I understand that. Same thing. Exactly the same thing. Hearing Fauci talk about, why are they asking him? So, Dr. Fauci, what do you think about the so-and-so's chances on America's Got Talent tonight? Huh? So, Dr. Fauci, what do you think of the latest battle between skinny jeans versus wide leg? Really? You're going to ask him about that? What else are you going to ask him about, right? Do you remember the Moonies, Dr. Fauci? You remember the little the plastic people that you could squeeze a little pump and they'd drop their pants and flash the car behind them that was very popular on cars in the late 80s, early 90s? What is your opinion of the Moonies? I mean, it's the same thing. You're asking, he's an immunologist. He's not a genie. What the hell? He's an immunologist. If you were going to ask him, if I lick this door handle, will I get sick? He could answer that. Right?
In a roundabout way.
I mean, he could answer that. I don't know that I would believe him even then, but that's at least, you know, I don't mind. See, here's the difference between the rest of us and Fauci. We know what we know. I know guns. I know gun law very, very well. I know them insanely well. I have no idea why I have the ability to remember things and recall insane facts that I've looked at one time. I do. I don't know immunology, but I know firearms and firearm law, right? Kane knows digital radio stuff and apparently football, and Rachel even knows football, and so does Steve. I don't. I know I don't know football. There is no way I'm going to argue with anybody over football. If there was a bad pass or whatever, I couldn't even argue about it with anybody because I wouldn't know that it happened. Unless they set it on fire and stabbed a guy on the field, I would not know that that was not in the rules, you know? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you can and can't do. I'm just saying, if somebody, like, took off their jock strap and swung it around and used it like a slingshot, I wouldn't know that that wasn't actually a... Was that allowed? That's probably not allowed either, is it? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying, that's the difference, though. We know what we know, and we know what we don't know. He does not know what he doesn't know, and that's dangerous. That is dangerous, especially when you are trying to be a player in everything. You know, he could just say, I don't know how that's an appropriate question to ask me, Dana. I don't know how that's an appropriate question to ask. I mean, I can, if you lick a dirty gun, I can tell you what would happen.
Just goes blah, blah, blah.
Okay, see what I'm saying here? It's just it's kind of tough. Come on. It's tough. So I just don't know why they're asking this dude these questions. This is the thing, though, okay? They are very, very intent on defining everything that they want to control as a public health issue. Which I'm confused because I thought it was infrastructure, right? What's the difference between infrastructure and a public health emergency? Well, not a damn thing. ultimately, it's about things that they want to control. That's what it comes down to. That's a favorite tactic of the Marxist left, to refer to everything they dislike as a public health issue so they can justify their demand to control it. That's what this all is. Now, there's not an issue with an inanimate object that is illegally carried and used in the commission of a felony. And a mental health issue is quite different from the discussion, the debate that we're having over firearm law. I was having a discussion with friends over the weekend about specifically, you know, what do you do if someone is a danger and you are concerned that they're going to hurt themselves or, you know, anything else. There are so many legal options. And that's one of the reasons I was telling a friend of mine, this is why I never liked the red flag or ERPO, which is the extreme risk protection order, because, you know, civil commitments, you know, while they're not perfect, they do more to protect due process and actually look at the cause of what's happening than red flags do. People who are genuinely interested in the issue of mental wellness and mental health and making it to where someone who is mentally unstable to the point of being dangerous to themselves or others, those individuals, you don't solve that issue or address it with a red flag, which only focuses on guns. It does not focus on mental health or anything. There's no mental health evaluation. There is nothing. Whereas something like a civil commitment, you have to, it has to come by way of people who are credibly acquainted with your mental health issue or with you. It can't just be any Tom, Dick, or Harry who's going to revenge report you. And you actually get due process. You get to talk to a judge. You get a mental evaluation by a trained professional. All of this stuff happens before penalties are enforced. It does more to address mental wellness and mental health and the danger aspect than red flags ERPO, which only focus on a gun. Because if someone, for instance, if they're hell-bent on killing themselves, you're just taking away one tool, but what about the rest of them out there? That's the whole point. Mental health is a public issue separate from criminals driving the crime rate using legal objects in an illegal manner. It's just weird that they would ask him that. But you see what they're doing. And you see why everyone's focusing on, because right now they're trying to create in the public's mind this panic that look at everything that's happening here. Look at it. Very dangerous stuff. This is a public health issue. Very much so. Now, speaking of that, I was looking at some of the reports coming in about the murderer at FedEx. I'm not going to say his name. The 19-year-old in Indianapolis who opened fire at the FedEx there in Indianapolis. 8 fatalities, 7 were injured. So the family said that they had tried to get him help. The mother had reported her son to the authorities. They had placed him under a, because they have red flags. Wait a minute, are you telling me the red flag law didn't work? Yes, I am. They had a temporary hold and they removed a shotgun. And then afterwards, he was able to go out and purchase two other rifles. Why? Because red flag ERPOs do not do anything to address the mental health aspect of something. It focuses strictly on the gun. Now you see why I criticize them. Now you see why. Now, with something like this, and the other reason, and I know we got to get going, the other reason why I think that the red flag extremist protection order is so dangerous is because of instances like this. Because the problem isn't solved just by taking away an object. And then furthermore, that sort of situation that can expire. With that, if you're going through and you're having someone evaluated by professionals and they are able to determine what exactly is happening with someone, recommend treatment, help you to get that, ensure that person gets the treatment that they need. And if it's something a little bit more serious and that person is incredibly dangerous, you can have them adjudicated mentally unfit through that process so that he could not have gone out and purchased two firearms. We literally have legal options to address every single aspect of everything you could possibly think about for firearms. You will not stump me on anything. My frustration comes at people not knowing their own government, their own rights, and civics enough to take advantage of the options that are available to them and think that they have to buy into this lie that's being sold to them by people who are using their lack of knowledge about a situation as an excuse to pass laws that they claim are remedying what is a loophole that doesn't exist. But the laws that they are wanting to pass has nothing to do with addressing said loophole. It has to do with penalizing the law abiding and reducing your rights further. This is the problem. We'll talk more about this, but that's huge. Founded 30 years ago, Kel-Tec takes pride in their mission of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company, Kel-Tec began making firearms in 1995 and to this day continues to never copy weapons, but always innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Now, SHOT Show is usually the time for Kel-Tec to unveil what's next, but with SHOT canceled this year, stay tuned to this program and the Kel-Tec social channels to discover new Kel-Tec weapons, all true to Kel-Tec's commitment to their customers by offering them firearm designs they can't get anywhere else. All Kel-Tec firearms are quality made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to go to work. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, and the right to bear arms, and they work hard to provide top quality products for you, law enforcement, and military personnel that protect America and our freedoms. To find a retailer near you and learn more about Kel-Tec's full line of pistols, rifles, shotguns, accessories, and more, check them out at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com.
It's the Dana Show.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters said over the weekend that we've got to stay on the street and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business. Does the president agree with what she said about getting more confrontational?
Well, I can speak to the president too. He has been very clear that he recognizes the issue of police violence against people of color, communities of color, is one of great anguish, and it's exhausting and quite emotional at times. As you know, he met with the Floyd family last year and has been closely following the trial, as we've been talking about, and is committed to undoing this long-standing systemic problem. His view is also that exercising First Amendment rights and protesting injustice is the most American thing that anyone can do. But as he also always says, protests must be peaceful. That's what he continues to call for and what he continues to believe is the right way to approach.
So that's Jen Psaki, who is reading this it's off a script. It's pre-written.
Rehearsed.
Yeah. It was written down for her. She was reading off a script about peaceful protests. And that was Caitlin Collins of CNN asking whether or not Biden agrees with Maxine Waters about calling for rioters to get more confrontational with law enforcement. So she wouldn't condemn her, though. She refused to condemn her. How difficult is that? I mean, I'm just, that's kind of, doesn't it seem a little bit difficult?
Yeah. She She could have just said no.
Just say no. It's difficult. It's I almost said difficulter. It's harder to not say no to do what she just did. It really is. I just heard that. So are they considering actually Joe Buck as the host of Jeopardy? I swear to you, I just saw something about that. We'll talk about that and a million other things coming back. Don't go anywhere. Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code Dana. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Forget that police are trained to deal with noncompliance with force that is not lethal. Hey, comply or die. You know what I mean? And you know what the answer is? You really do. You don't like it. I don't like it. It scares me. Shootings? Gun laws? Access to weapons? Oh, you? I know when they'll change. Your kids start getting killed? White people's kids start getting killed? Smoking that doobie that's actually legal probably in your state now, but they don't know what it was, and then the kid runs and it pop, 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 pop. What? Cop was justified. Why'd you run? Oh, he had a baseball game tonight. Huh. White kid. Oh, big family, that house over there. Those start piling up. What is going on with these police? Oh, what? Maybe we shouldn't even have police. That kind of mania, that kind of madness. That'll be you. That'll be the majority. Because it's your people.
Good night. You know, I will say, it's so good as a fan of Napoleon Dynamite. It's really awesome to see Uncle Rico get work. You know? It's really gladdens the heart. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. This is where all the people who don't have anything nice to say come. And we can all sit together and say that. DanaLash.com. Go and subscribe to the newsletter chapter and verse. There's several that'll be going out tonight. And a lot to discuss. We're watching the closing arguments. And this is all going with the Chauvin trial. And they had the closing arguments earlier. Prosecution, then defense. And we'll give you any kind of updates that come out from that. But it's good to be with you. It's good to start our Monday. Very much so. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go check that out. That was Chris Cuomo, who says, police reform comes when white people's kids start getting killed. Do you remember when I stood on stage at CPAC? This was literally the morning after the town hall. And I told the media that they love tragedy because of ratings, which was absolutely accurate, and how they lost their minds. The same people that lost their minds over that think nothing's wrong with this. First off, that's like not actually true either. I am reading an amazing book, and I'll talk more about this in the coming week because I'm halfway through it now. I started it over the weekend, and it is fantastic. It's by Vodi Beauchamp, and it's called Fault Lines, and it looks at the critical race theory discussion, the Marxist theory about race and equity and equality. And it has he's got a great chapter in this book that gets into this very thing, because there are a number of instances where you've had unarmed white people that were shot by police. So it's not something that is strictly, you know, where it's cops going out and executing black Americans. That's just a narrative that I've always disputed because of statistics. Now that's separate from saying that there is distrust between the black community and police. So those are two very different issues. But this kind of remark from him, oh my gosh, how irresponsible of a How irresponsible is that to state something like that on CNN? And then he's bap, 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 bap. I'm like, have you ever heard a gun? It doesn't go pap. I mean, good night. But that's, I mean, to me, that remark was exponentially, for all the people who I said were freaking out over my criticism of media and how they like to sell ads on tragedy on their networks, which is entirely accurate. That statement is insane. That's an insane statement. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the Chauvin trial. And we've been, like I said, we've been following this, and the closing arguments are taking place now. Whether or not, because he's up on manslaughter charges, I know that Maxine Waters was saying that they were going to riot if they don't get a murder charge, which, just an FYI, that wasn't ever on the table, a murder charge. And the reason that it was never on the table is because there was no premeditation involved. And that's what is incredibly important to remember in this. There was no premeditation involved at all. So this idea that if there is like a manslaughter, if he gets convicted on a manslaughter charge, it seems like she is acting as though that would be a defeat, because she had said, well, we want a murder charge.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Listen to what this is Maxine Waters, a sitting member of Congress, who Jen Psaki just said the president, she had no response on and wouldn't condemn these remarks. Listen.
So the fact that Dante was killed, a young 20-year-old, and it's overwhelming.
No,
and so I wanted to be there.
This is the one where she was in talking about Minneapolis, and she was talking about Derek Chauvin.
What should protesters do?
Well, we got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
Oof. And then she had in the longer one, which we don't have to. She was saying, oh, we want a murder charge. Like, that's not how that works. Meanwhile, you have the Brooklyn Center mayor saying we need to get rid of firearms for police, especially when they're doing traffic stops. This over the weekend, two men were shot dead. This because they during a traffic stop, a San Antonio cop was shot during a routine traffic stop. He had to return fire after he was fired upon, and the two suspects that had opened fire on him were killed. I mean, this is like the third time this week where it was a routine traffic stop and one of them, the cop, was killed, sadly. This officer is going to recover. He was shot in the hand, but they would have, had he not returned fire, they would have killed him. I mean, this is all of this. All of this, I think, absolutely does go back to this Marxist theory and this attempt to use Marxist theory as a way to destabilize the republic. It really is that. This idea getting into policing and law and order, because it's not just policing, it's also law and order. How many times have you heard the discussion that, well, we need to reduce penalties or reduce, you know, we have bail reform now. Like New York just passed, let me pull this up. They passed bail reform like what, last year? And the bail reform that they had, and I made mention of this because we played audio earlier, Fauci saying that, gun violence is a public health issue, which is insane that he was even asked a question on this. And also insane is that he decided that it was, you know, he's, as an immunologist, he's an expert on this and is going to answer it. But the idea that I mentioned this as infrastructure, gun control, all of this. I'm gonna pull this up because there was a. There was an issue. It was a news story that happened just over this weekend. And I'm not talking about the pimp style video, which I'm totally going to play here in just a moment. But here it is. This is in New York. New York Post had this story. Bail reform. This is what I'm talking about when I say that our justice system is also infected with this like theory that, you know, we have to reduce penalties because to, as a way to, again, it comes, it's equitable outcomes, right? This story, a man charged with attacking an undercover Asian NYPD cop. He was released without bail. Yeah. Ricardo Hernandez, 32 years old. He faces three hate crime charges in the attack on the unnamed cop. Remember, we are in a, have we not been talking about how it's the crime wave and the uptick in attacks on Asian Americans? He tried to shove this cop on the subway tracks so he'd get killed by a train. The judge said that my hands are tied. This guy, Ricardo Hernandez, has 12 prior arrests. He said, my hands are tied because under the new bail rules, I have absolutely no authority or power to set bail on this defendant for the alleged offense. This was passed last year. Attacks that don't cause any injury, even though the injury was intended, are exempt from bail. He tried to murder this guy because he was unsuccessful at murder. Thankfully, by the grace of God, he got to go without bail. The judge also agreed to dismiss the warrant against the suspect involving a previous open container summons, which that's a whole other issue. But, and this was after another attack on a different Asian undercover officer, in which that suspect previously was also immediately freed. Wow. So, yeah, and that individual, Juvian Rodriguez, had tried to kill, this was at 31st Street and 39th Avenue, tried to shove a cop onto the tracks, an undercover Asian American cop. And he told the cop, this was on April 9th, this is the second incident, quote, go back to China before you end up in a graveyard, end quote. He was also released without bail. Now, whenever I mention this rot in our judicial system and the decreased deterrent, this is exactly what I'm talking about. These are just two examples. This bail reform like that is a public health issue. Absolutely it is. It's a public health issue. Unbelievable. Now, today in my neck of the woods, early voting has begun in our school board and city council races. And I hope people realize that the political and ideological fight starts there before it ever gets to your state capital, before it ever gets to Washington, D.C. You better be out voting in your school board races, your city council races, your mayoral races. It is incumbent on you, upon you to do so, particularly if you are one of those that you're upset about critical race theory infecting the Marxist theory infecting every single aspect of our American way of life, then you need to be demonstrating such. And by the way, it is the anniversary of the shot heard around the world that kicked off America's war for independence. And if you have early voting in your area, which starts today as mine does, and you are not thinking about voting in your city council or your school board elections where all of this starts, then what a dishonor to such an anniversary, right?
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play the Dana Show podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
Oh, boy. Oh, my goodness. You guys know my opinion about this particular candidate. Nothing personal. It's all business. I just don't like candidates that are weak and actually have affairs, and that causes them the governor's mansion and then, like, and jeopardizes the entire party. So Greitens apparently somehow convinced Kimberly Guilfoyle to serve as national chair of the Eric Greitens for U.S. Senate campaign. I know Kim. Kim's a friend. She's very nice. I like her a lot. Not as a politician, I'm not a fan of Greitens. I think that makes it clear. But I've not looked to see what the Twitter comments are because I've been busy. Somebody chuckled. Somebody over here chuckled. I'm just saying. I've not seen what those are, but I'm just, you know, put it out there. Yep, they're still building it up. This hasn't changed. People think that, what, Russia's just going to change their mind because Joe Biden wags his finger? Not so much. So the so Russia apparently is still building out and bringing more and more troops up to their borders, that military base in Crimea. Yeah, that's satellite images reveal this. We've seen it. 150,000 troops there on the border with Ukraine. And the military camp, Kachkik, I don't know, has every continent in it. It's on the south coast of the Crimean Peninsula. It shows all kinds of vehicles lined up, these satellite images and fenced off pens, infantry tents. They really, really, really want that seaport so bad. They're also going to take, you know, all this other land too. So just an FYI. Yeah. Also, NYPD confiscated a T-shirt gun that was mounted to a rapper's Hummer. It wasn't even an actual, like, gun. It was a T-shirt gun. Like, an air rifle that shoots promo T-shirts. It was on top of a... And I think that's actually pretty cool. Christopher Stoney. It was his Hummer along 9th Avenue in Manhattan. And nope, the people were like, those T-shirt guns, that's a high-capacity T-shirt mag something. He was launching T-shirts during promotional events, and they made him take it off. They confiscated it because somebody could have shot a bunch of T-shirts out of people. I don't know. Good grief. Also, gosh, if you have a Peloton, the treadmill, safety regulators are saying if you have kids, don't use a treadmill because they can become pinned or entrapped under the rear roller. I just thought, just keep your damn kids off the treadmills anyway, right? Like, how is that? We know how these work. Stay with us.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Peaceful protest, we encourage, and more riot. We can tell the difference. And I'll guarantee you that you'll be able to tell the difference if you come here and riot. If you come here and protest peacefully, we encourage that.
I like Ron DeSantis' expression behind him. That's Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, who I said on break, I would love to hear him have a conversation with Louisiana Senator John Kennedy. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. It's good to be with you all. And of course, he's speaking out ahead of the any kind of anticipated, any kind of sort of, you know, demonstration, etc., because you have the closing arguments right now in the Derek Chauvin trial, and the defense is speaking. That's underway. I don't know when we're going to have a verdict on this, but I think the way that people are acting, it's almost as if they're anticipating it today.
Yeah.
So could be. I mean, I don't know. Again, I don't know the timeline and of what they're expecting, but closing arguments, it's happening pretty quickly. And I like that soundbite. That was a good soundbite. All right. So I want to make sure I get into some of the media malpractice and all of that as well. I thought this was a good point that a listener had made. We were talking a little bit earlier about the Faucian response now to vaccinations. Even if you get a vaccination, he says you should still wear a mask and, you know, avoid the, you know, do all of that. I mean, basically just don't. This is audio sound by, because this is a four. Let's play this. This is Fauci on CNN.
But the way you get rid of those restrictions is to get as many people vaccinated as quickly and as expeditiously as possible, because when that happens, for absolutely certain, you're going to see the level of virus in the community go down and down and down to the point where you would not have to have those public health restrictions. So it's almost paradoxical that on the one hand, they want to be relieved of the restrictions, but on the other hand, they don't want to get vaccinated. It just almost doesn't make any sense.
So I had a listener that said, isn't that you're sort of removing when you tell people that even if they're vaccinated, they still can't be free to go out and do anything. Then what is the attraction to go and get vaccinated? Oh, it doesn't change anything? Oh, okay. Well, then why the hell am I doing this with something that's like an RNA thing, which seems to be a serious, you know, seems to be a serious kind of thing. If you're messing with RNA, I'm just saying. it makes people like me who are simultaneously germophobes and also not, I'm not anti-vax at all. I love vaccines. I love vaccines that are, you know, where we know what happens with them. I just have questions. And it doesn't help all of the misinformation by people who are more invested in propaganda than they are informing the public.
If you were to guess how many vaccines you've had in your life, I would say what, like 4 or 5 maybe?
Oh, yeah.
About average.
Oh, yeah.
Did any of the post-vaccinations force you to mask and quarantine?
No.
Even after you got vaccinated?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, that's where I have a problem.
Yeah, it's like it didn't, you know, I got the chicken pox thing, I got the measles thing, yeah. I got the mumps thing, MMR the thing, yeah, all of that.
And, why are we also now quarantining and masking after the vaccination? This makes no sense.
That's why just regular, reasonable people, they don't see the appeal in getting vaccinated for something that doesn't change anything. And then there's questions about the vaccine because they hear all these, the way that the government handled the Johnson & Johnson issue, non-issue, was insane. You had six people out of 6.5 million. And there was no question about any other medications or any other health issues that any of these people were on or had. And it was just assumed that it was related to the vaccine. The damage was done to it already. Now the government's already walking back their position. You already did the damage. You did the damage to it already. I mean, it's that you're not inspiring trust in this stuff when you do things like this. And that's the Biden administration. You're not inspiring trust on this. And then you have the audacity to blame everyone else for, you know, the dumbassery that takes place that you guys do? No. No, ain't doing that. It's so frustrating. But it seems by and large, if only we had this entity that would ask these questions for us and would write stories on it and evaluate information in a bipartisan fashion. If only there was like a profession
that'd be sweet.
That would do this. Oh, speaking of those people, did you hear this story? Regardless of what you think about the Rittenhouse, Kyle, and I've written about this quite a bit. And if you didn't catch my opinion or my newsletter on it, because I wrote about it, I thought how he acted was in self-defense. I did take issue with someone who was too young to even sign a contract and have it be of legal weight to be out responsible for protecting a business. Unless you are recognized as a legal adult in your own right, capable of signing a contract without a guardian or opening a bank account without a guardian, then, okay, fine. If you want to go out and protect a business during a riot, that's one thing. But being a minor and doing that, I think, is irresponsible parenting. I don't think it was irresponsible parenting, though, to teach this kid how to handle a firearm, which I think if you can separate yourself from partisanship and zealotry long enough to maybe look and I'll just say it since nobody else will. I think that in the way that he handled a firearm in this defensive situation, and I've looked at all the video of this as well, especially after he didn't fire when one guy who was a prohibited possessor and in possession illegally of a handgun was advancing on him. And when he stopped trying to think the better of it and took 2 steps back, and Rittenhouse made the judgment call that he is retreating, so I do not need to use lethal force. And then the guy stupidly decided, no, forget that, I'm going to charge him again. And then he ended up getting shot. I thought that teenager displayed a better judgment of the situation and a better discernment than some of the people. I thought he than Kim Potter, to be frank. Get mad because it's true. He had better discernment of the issue than Kim Potter. Facts. Yeah, #facts. Now, there are going to be some people who are very reductive and nuance to them is a non-existent thing. And they're going to think, well, you just made a blanket statement about everybody, even though you specifically used one name. Go ahead. But just saying. Anyway, that's not the issue. The issue is that he had a GoFundMe, or not a GoFundMe, but a fundraiser, right? And Luke Rosiak he investigated this story. This is crazy. So it was through a charity website called Give, Send, Go. And so Rittenhouse is awaiting trial. The Guardian, the publication, British publication, The Guardian, used data that had been breached from Give, Send, Go, according to Luke Rosiak, to dox any low-level police officer or paramedic who made small donations to help any colleague or anyone they knew who was targeted by buying large mansions. BLM. ABC4 reported Daily Wire through Luke Rosiak. ABC4 published one paramedic's name. He donated $10. He donated $10. A paramedic. You. They brought a whole damn camera crew to this dude's house. And they wanted to, and here's what the reporter, it's taken everything I've had to not go off on this reporter on Twitter. And if I hadn't been so busy this morning, it would have already happened. They were going to get the paramedic side of things. What?
What more do you need to know?
Yeah, the reporter, I tried to get the paramedic side of things. I'm a reporter. Watch me go journalisming. Gonna go journalisming. This guy donated $10.
Let's ruin his life.
It's really what it was. They are shocked that the guy didn't come out of his house. Huh. And amazing. So they actually, Wes, they reached out to the city. They said the employee is an employee of the West Valley City Fire Department. They're going to investigate the $10 donation. I look at money as speech, just FYI. He donated $10 to a defense fund. Oh my gosh, you mean somebody as a, if we're going to go and look and if we're going to use the as a justification, whether or not someone is a public or private employee, we're going to have fun with teachers unions. Y'all ready for that? So they went to the dude's house. They tried doing this in the town where I live at. Because there's a political battle going on where I live because the school wanted to implement critical race theory curriculum and teach racism. The school wanted to institutionalize racism through CRT. And they also were going to defund the school resource officer, the SRO program that we taxpayers voted on, without allowing us taxpayers who voted on it to have any kind of input. And they wanted to take that money and use it for a chief diversity officer, a six-figure making chief diversity officer. And when we spoke out about it, they called us racist and everything else, which is insane because there's more diversity in that group than there is with the mostly white leadership of the professional Marxist organizers. But I digress. And there was a pack that was set up and I donated to it. And they actually tried, like the left tried to come at me and name me on this. And I'm like, what in the ever loving hell made you think that was going to intimidate me? Watch as I write a bigger check, fools. Every time you come at me, I'm just going to keep doing it. You know, and next time it'll be double. And we'll just keep going. How about that? People are goofy. But you know, that's the thing. That's fascism. That's fascism. They want to make you terrified of speaking out. Again, I will remind you that it is the 246th anniversary of the first shot fired, the very beginning of the American War for Independence at Lexington and Concord. So remember that. Remember the Minutemen, to make a rhetorical comparison for the people who read with pictures. Hey, these were just farmers and businessmen, and they were well regulated in their use of firearms. And they stood there and they did not run at the sight of redcoats, and they did not run at the threats or the intimidation, and they stood their ground. So keep that in mind as we go forward, and be worthy of that sacrifice in your fight too.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
So this bill actually prevents against local governments defunding law enforcement. We'll be able to stop it at the state level. And if you look at some of these places that have done this, they've already seen crime go up, even just diverting some of the funding to this.
Mm. That's Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. Good guy, Florida man. He's talking about his anti-riot bill. That's where he had Grady Judd, who was like, this is a riot, and this is not a riot. This is how this works. Yeah, we can tell the difference, and you will be able to as well if you come down here and riot. I like how he is just no nonsense. He just ain't having it. Whew. All right, folks, you know what time it is? It's time for that time when, well, let's go to where the norm, that's at least normal compared to everybody else. Normal people are.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-hmm. A Florida man who deputies had claimed to be a special agent was tased multiple times while resisting arrest. According to an affidavit, Volusia County Sheriff's Office said in a charging affidavit that a deputy had responded to a report of a suspicious person. 42-year-old George Prosok, who looks a hell of a lot older than 42. Jiminy Cricket. He actually said it right. Look at that. I always say Jiminy Christmas, which I prefer. Deputies ran his license. He was in a vehicle in a driveway. He told deputies that he went to the home because he had something in his eyes and was looking for water, a water hose to flush him out. What a weird. But they ran his license. He had a warrant out for violation of a pretrial release. He fought from the deputies, resisted arrest. They had to tase him. He was able to remove the probes from his body. And he ended up getting tased again. They finally took him into jail, and he got another battery on a law enforcement officer and resisting an officer with violence. He got another charge on top of it. There you go. I know. They didn't listen, and they should have listened when he was telling them to stop, when they were telling him to stop. A South Florida restaurant buys robots to fight staffing issues. Robots. The future of food. It's called Mr. Q Crab House. It's in Hollywood, Florida. They have three food service bots. They are electronic workers. They have been performing various tasks assigned to servers in front of the house workers. The robots greet customers. They help them to their seats, and they even run food out to tables. This terrifies the ever-loving hell out of me. This is scary? That's scary. I think it's weird, man. $30,000 for three of them.
Yeah, see, that's a lot cheaper than $15 an hour for three different people.
They're weird, and they don't look like with the arms and legs. They look like a Dyson fan with shelves in the middle, and I guess that's what they set the food on, and yeah. Then it brings the food out. But it's still, so it doesn't have any arms, so it can't strangle you or kill you to death like that, I guess. But that's just a matter of time, right? Just a matter of time. Let's see here. I got a couple of others. Oh, my gosh. Oh, a man sped in his car and jumped over the gap of a raising drawbridge. This was in Daytona. I mean, it is Daytona. So don't do that. But I am saying, I'd be like, it's in Daytona. Well, it makes a little bit more sense. I mean, it's still finable, but, you know, makes a little bit more sense. Let's see here. Oh, my gosh. There's a couple of other ones. Oh, the Florida woman who spotted the baby dinosaur. A Florida woman. This is Fox 35 in Palm Coast. She's questioning whether or not there are prehistoric creatures back because she saw what looked like a baby dinosaur run across her yard. She goes, it's a raptor. It looks like a baby dinosaur. Maybe I've watched Jurassic Park too many times. It's Christina Ryan in Florida. It was on her security footage. And then everyone started talking about UFOs after that. Woo! Stick with us.
That 21-year-old pimp, that 21-year-old trafficker who is not yet a convicted felon, roll on in to any place you want and buy a gun under this provision and walk around in whatever way you want. No training, no understanding, Wild West pimp style. That's what this bill does. And then that pimp can roll into whatever small businesses in your community with their stable of girls, and they can flaunt it. Mm. Wild West pimp style.
Wild West pimp style. Sounds like a new store opening up in that redone area down there in Fort Worth. You know, down there in the stockyards. Welcome to Wild West Pimp Style. My name is Natalie. How can I help Wild West pimp up your look? Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go there. Sign up for that newsletter, won't you please? Because I've got all kinds of stuff coming at you, so you don't want to miss it. This was in a debate about Texas constitutional carry. Now, wait a second. This is all relevant to you because we are all going to laugh at this woman's statement and this woman. But Texas finally decided, the Texas Republicans all finally decided, hey, maybe it's not enough just to do, I don't know, like a sanctuary state that has no teeth at all whatsoever because it's not a legislative action. Let's maybe, I don't know, pass constitutional carry. Woo! Which I get it. You shouldn't have to say, remember, guys, we got the Second Amendment, because that's what constitutional carry is. So it passed through the House, constitutional carry, and HB 1927. And so, I mean, I think the thing I've enjoyed most about this soundbite from this lawmaker is the fact that the memes that came of it, the memes that are there. So this was State Representative Ann Johnson, and she's trying to scare all of you people about constitutional carry with pimps. Now, I know can I hear it again? Because this is one of my favorite sound bites of all time. This is, everyone, this is Texas Representative Ann Johnson about pimps.
That 21-year-old trafficker who is not yet a convicted felon.
I still like this.
Roll on into any place you want and buy a gun under this provision and walk around in whatever way you want. No training, no understanding, Wild West pimp style.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what this bill does. And then that pimp can roll into whatever small businesses in your community with their stable of girls, and they can flaunt it.
Wild West pimp style. So Ann Johnson doesn't know what in the hell constitutional carry is, because it has nothing to do with buying a gun. It says that you can just carry your gun without having to ask the government, may I carry this lawful item that I am allowed by just being an American citizen affirmed by the Constitution to have? Please, may I have more gruel, Mr. Government? Just a reminder to everybody, 256 years ago on this day at Lexington and Concord, the first shot of the War of Independence broke out and Minutemen stood their ground. Just an FYI. So, Ann Johnson, that she says small business owners are going to have to confront pimps. Wild West pimps. Which made me ask, Kane on break, what's the difference between like a regular pimp and a Wild West pimp?
Right.
For real.
I mean, honestly, we have to guess because she did not specify it.
Yeah.
On the floor. So I would have to imagine it's any pimp that's not East Coast.
This is my favorite. She goes, that pimp, this is Ann Johnson, quote, that pimp can roll into whatever small business is in your community with their stable of girls and they can flaunt it. And if you don't have the courage, says Texas Representative Ann Johnson, to stand up and say, Mr. Pimp, with your stable of girls, I really don't want you here in my business in this manner. She's a South Park character. Ann Johnson is a South Park character. Mr. Pimp. Oh, my gosh. You know what? This is just like a new character. I mean, if I can't roll in Wild West pimp style, what the hell's the point?
Right.
Oh, man. I was unaware of Wild West pimp style. And I didn't know what it was before, and I apologize. Mr. Pimp.
What is the flaunting of girls?
About flaunting of carrying.
Oh, but that wouldn't be, that'd be conceal, right? Mm. If you're concealing, you wouldn't be flaunting it, right? Or am I just like,
yeah, most people, because they like to have the advantage.
Right.
They don't. I mean, there's only a couple of times that I will think it's actually better to open carry, but for the most part, I like the tactical advantage of having it concealed, because if in any kind of mass casualty incident, you would be deemed as the person who would be able to stop the criminal, so you would have a target on you. So, but I just so it's, I mean, what they're wanting to do is reduce the punishment for carrying a firearm. If it's private property and there's a prohibited sign, it brings it down from a Class A misdemeanor to a Class C. You can't carry it's illegal to carry your firearm on private property if they don't want you to carry it and they post the signage. It has to be posted in a certain way. And if you refuse to leave, then it escalates back up to a Class A misdemeanor. So it is really amazing to me. I have to say, it's pretty amazing to me that this was an actual thing that was said. But this is one of the best things. It's just one of the most ridiculous things ever. That burden is shifted to small businesses. Wasn't that burden already shifted to them, though, with the signage that they had to post? Because they had to get specific signage. You can't just put like a no guns allowed. It had to be a specific sign, a specific size, with specific language, on specific material, posted in a specific way, at a specific location. Literally, all these things. Yes. I'm just saying. Wild West pimp style. I mean, for real, though. Isn't that the only way that, you know, people can go in? Is Wild West pimp style?
And by the way, she's describing, criminal. They're going to do Wild West pimp style stuff no matter what the law says, because they don't obey the law. So her giving us examples of crime is not exactly the dunk she thinks it is.
Like, by the way, where is her obsession with pimp coming from? Is she trying not to say thug?
Why is that bad to say thug?
I don't know. I'm just wondering. Like, why is she saying pimp?
I don't know.
Like, that comes to your mind? Like a Wild West pimp with women on his arm? It's taking everything I have.
She's not the salesperson she thinks she is.
The Wild West pimp. And then the business owner has to say, I'm not even joking, she said this. And if you don't have the courage to stand up and say, Mr. Pimp. Mr. Pimp, with your stable of girls, I don't really want you here in my business in this pimp manner. Pimping. Oh, man.
Which all businesses currently have the right to do.
Yeah, all businesses have the right to do anyway. You could have a business owner get up and say, you know what? I don't like the fact that you're wearing flip-flops and you have dirty feet. Get out of my store. Get out. I mean, private business owners can do whatever they want. It's Wild West pimping for them, okay? It's just, you know what I need right now? I need the Jay-Z song, please.
The Jay-Z
song? Oh, my gosh. The fact that neither you nor Steve, who can be forgiven because he's in early aughts, the fact that you did not immediately think Big Pimpin'.
Well, of course, Big
Pimpin'. We're totally going to get flagged on YouTube
think you
for this.
Want that. Yeah, because this will flag the
I know, because YouTube are fascist. I don't even think I could make the hand gesture because I'll get in trouble with.
Wait a minute, is it? There's no cussing in that song, is there?
Oh, yeah, there totally is.
Oh, well, then no, I'm not going to play it.
There's so much cussing, Gain. It's Wild West Pimpin'.
I have to find the edit first.
Wild West Pimp style. What? I just want to know, like, do you have to have a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, spurs, rhinestones? Like, what level are we looking at? Is it like rhinestone cowboy Wild West pimp? Or is it more like, I'm from California, moved to Austin, I went and got the first pair of boots I saw so I could look legit pimp? Like, what level pimp are we at? I love it. Mr. Pimp, with your stable of girls, Mr. Pimp. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, that's really ultimately what not having concealed carry or what constitutional carry is doing. It's preventing a plethora of pimps from running around wild, a plethora of pimps. What is the plural? Is it just pimps? Like a flock of a bunch of crows is a murder. What's a bunch of pimps?
It's not a pimpopity, if that's what you're thinking.
Pimpopity. I could make fun of this all day. But here's the other big thing. And joking aside, everybody I know, you realize that the fear that people have in all these other areas that have passed constitutional carry, and this argument that there's just going to be Wild West pimps everywhere, that has never happened in any of those areas that where they have passed constitutional carry. Furthermore, I will add, most people don't want to get a misdemeanor charge for like reckless discharge or illegal or unlawful discharge, criminal discharge of a firearm. They understand that the law is very, very strict, and they take their right as a very seriously, and they get more, they get training on it. I don't think that someone who is this ignorant of law or firearm owners like Texas State Representative Ann Johnson should be anywhere near making policy about it. I'll tell you that, because if you want my honest opinion, that's all. I mean, we got enough Wild West pimps running around in Texas House of Representatives, and we don't need Wild West pimps writing policy. We don't need no pimp policy. Now, speaking of two-way stuff, a lot of people were hyping this poll that I saw about Matthew McConaughey going up against Abbott. I mean, I would be interested in seeing McConaughey up against the number of gubernatorial potentials. And they say, oh, well, because, you know, he's thinking about maybe running for office. I hope that there aren't any, like, limited government people out there who, you know, like, all right, and, you know, like Matthew McConaughey. I mean, I like him as an actor, too. He seems like a nice guy. Man doesn't know what in the ever-loving hell he's talking about when he talks about firearms. And here he is in 2018 calling for an assault weapons ban and a ban on pretty much everything else at a March for Lives Austin event. Listen.
Number two. Let's restrict the capacity on the magazines. I mean, look here. In the state of Texas, we have a 3-shell limit to hunt migratory birds. Do the math. You get my point.
Yeah. It's a borrowed talking point from the
third one. Let's better regulate the background checks that are already in place.
Yes.
And close the loopholes that exist in those background checks. Now, those are the three main stipulations.
He went into
those three, I can say it. Say it with me. All right.
He called for an assault weapons ban, magazine background, magazine restrictions, and he wants to. There's not a loophole in background checks, and we talked about this. Private transfers between legal possessors in their same state of residence, it's still federally regulated. And if you try to argue with me that it's not federally regulated, then have one of those people either not be in the same state of residence or be a prohibited possessor, and then explain to me why there's a federal penalty, including a five-figure fine and jail time that goes along with it if it's not federally regulated. You're welcome. So before you get all enamored with the idea of a Governor McConaughey, just know that that sounded pretty Hollywood up there. Just saying. He seems like a nice guy and all, but I mean, the talking points that he was reading and everything else, that's not cool. Not cool at all. That is not all right, all right, all right.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
A dingo literally almost ate this woman's baby. Like, it really actually almost happened. It's Australia. There was a dingo attack. A toddler airlifted to the hospital after being mauled on Fraser Island. It's actually very sad. It's a 2-year-old boy who suffered bites to his leg, arm, neck, and shoulders. He had lacerations on the back of his head. And it somehow managed to get out of the house that the family was staying at where while they were asleep. And I love how authorities describe it. They go, well, he went for a wander somehow, and he was approached by one of the dingoes. And they said, well, thankfully it was one lone dingo and not an attack. And police are interviewing witnesses, and they're going to figure out, how to, because you can't even interfere with dingoes. Fines for interfering with them increased. And there was a fisherman, for instance, who got fined over $2,000 because he fed a dingo. So, like, what? I mean, could you protect it if it was trying to eat your... I'm just wondering. Corpse Motel is a great band name. This comes from Japan Today. Lodging houses, apparently, that are being used as morgues, and they're creating a lot of unease amongst residents in Osaka. In fact, they said the transition of one private house that was licensed to take in lodgers into a so-called corpse hotel, the locals are up in arms. One 70-year-old man said they were carrying the bodies in wrapped in cloth and laying them out in the garden. There's no explanation at all whatsoever. Apparently, this business has emerged as a consequence of the aging of its population, but also the weakening of family and community ties. So because the population is more older than it is younger, there's fewer younger people. And so apparently this is a big thing there. But Corpse Motel is a really actually very good band name, right? Yeah, yeah. That's like, I can't believe I didn't ever suggest it before. We have a lot more in store. Don't go anywhere because we have media bias. We have the latest with the Chauvin trial. Keep it here.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
That 21-year-old pimp, that 21-year-old trafficker who is not yet a convicted felon, roll on into any place you want and buy a gun under this provision and walk around in whatever way you want. No training, no understanding. Wild West pimp style.
Ooh.
That's what this bill does. And then that pimp can roll into whatever small businesses in your community with their stable of girls, and they can flaunt it. Wild West pimp style.
Wild West pimp style. Wow, that's Texas State Rep. Ann Johnson. Wild West pimp style. I feel like that's like a... Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. That was Ann Johnson, Texas State Rep. I feel like that's a crossover that hadn't happened yet. You know what I mean? Like country music, and then we were joking, saying that Jay-Z is Big Pimpin'. That's really the original version of Step Brothers, Boats and Hoes. It really is. Now, I feel like that's a crossover that should happen. But that's Ann Johnson. She says the only reason why we are not awash in Wild West pimps is because... we don't have constitutional carry. And the moment that passes, you're going to see a rhinestone cowboy pimp coming up through your business door, right? Your front door, your business, right through. Rhinestone cowboy pimp with his stable of girls on his arm. We're going to need somebody. We're going to need like a new crossover because the other guy made everybody mad with his devil shoes. So, and his like... Horrible, his completely horrible lap dance and inability to walk in goth boots. Just awful. We're going to need a new thing. That's, by the way, is my Halloween costume. Huh? Wild West pimp.
Wow.
I usually figure out my Halloween costumes very far in advance. Except for last year because nobody ever was shut down.
Well, I can see the pimp hat, but mm-hmm. What else? Because you're a Wild West pimp.
Wild West pimp.
So there would be other accessories to the costume.
I want to be able to have a cape. Yeah. So like Elvis. And then when I open it up, there's women on it. Like us, like I have a stable of girls like that, right? So.
You're concealed.
So, yeah.
You're concealed at that point.
I can, and it's like a cape. So, and it would have, you know, like it'd look like a wild, they didn't have capes in the Wild West, but you get my idea. And then when I open it up, there's just like it's like my arms get long, Go-Go Gadget style, and there's women on it. So it's my stable of girls. And then I'll have, I don't know, like a Bootsy Collins inspired kind of hat where, you know, maybe it has a feather on it because why not? Those are awesome.
Right.
And, you know, like maybe the only thing I think of is rhinestone. I clearly do not know where to get these items except perhaps maybe call up whoever hot glue gunned that devil thing on what's-his-face's shoes that Nike sued him over. Be like, can you come and hot glue stuff for me? I'm gonna have to get one of them hot glue guns and make myself a Wild West pimp outfit so I can be a Wild West pimp. So I think I'm going to have to do that, right? And then I have a rhinestone-coated holster, something like that.
Do you?
No, I'm saying I would need
gotcha.
It.
All right, see, yeah.
Somehow. I'm not... I mean, I'm sure.
I assumed you might have had one of those already.
Wait, hold up. Let's stop.
Yeah.
It's a stop in the car.
Yeah.
What? Where in the world would you think I'd have had a rhinestone covered holster?
Why wouldn't you? I'm just saying, what would be...
Because it's like...
What's holding you back?
Taste.
Is that what it is?
For one.
Doesn't sound very functional either, but still.
No, it'd be like bright, like, woo, here's where I carry my gun. If you want to steal it, it's right here. I mean, just, and most of the time I carry concealed, so it's pointless. Anyway, that would be so uncomfortable. You imagine all them rhinestones on it? It'd be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Not to mention it'd get your britches all hung up on it. Good night. I'm just saying, so.
I'm just figuring out what to get you for your birthday before Halloween.
Yeah, that's going to be, that's totally going to be a Wild West pimp. That is going to be my Halloween costume. And I feel like I'm going to need, because it's not Wild West unless there is a posse of pimps. Ooh, pimp posse. Wild West pimp posse. WWPP. So, right?
Oh, man.
And every time somebody joins, an eagle makes an eagle sound somewhere. Whatever the hell sounds they make. They don't caw. They yell like something. Yeah. So that's, it feels like that's what's going to need to happen. So I got my Halloween costume all figured out. There you go. I may take feedback on it through the newsletter. I may have, like, send your contributions here, because I want it to look real authentic. You know, I want for Ann Johnson to see me and be like, see, this is what I was talking about. Wild West pimps. They're stable of girls. Just saying. All right. Kamala Harris, the VP. Was she taking questions? Was this like a legit presser or no? It wasn't like an actual. Was it an actual presser? She was making remarks and she gets, she's so awkward. I think sometimes if she just stopped trying to not be awkward, she would be less awkward. This was, I think this was a joke. Her making a joke. Listen.
These opportunities are equally available to women as well as men. Because there's an interesting fact, in case you didn't know, hard hats are actually unisex. Everybody's laughing.
No. No, they're not, though. No one's laughing. Nobody's laughing at that. Why wouldn't hard hats be unisex?
Right.
It's not like women have boobs on their head.
No.
We don't have to have a little carve out for those.
It's true.
Up here.
We would probably look you in the eyes more.
Right.
If that was the case.
I mean, that, yeah, exactly. It's not up here. Why wouldn't they be unisex?
I don't know. And why is that funny?
Why would it even be funny?
Yeah.
Who wrote that? Did she write that and go, that's a zinger?
I'm more concerned about the deaf interpreter, how they interpreted that joke.
The deaf interpreter for Kamala Harris looks as though it's a bunch of hard rock hand symbols all put together because her face, and she's like so aggressive with it. Watching the sign language interpreters is amazing because it's like they're dancing, and most of them are way more interesting than the people that we are actually listening to. Let's be real, right? I mean, let's. And the face, the facial expressions, everything. Like this woman, I can only do the alphabet, but she's like. Like that's. She's amazing. I swear she did this at one point. I don't know if like devils are coming. I don't know what that means, but I love it. She's awesome. All big Gretches though. Big Gretches takes the cake. But this chick though is really. She's into it, and I'm feeling that.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that energy right there. And I like how she smiles, and she's pleasant afterwards. Right? Like, you could go have some bourbon with her after and chill. She seems fun and metally. I don't know. I don't know why, but she does. Anyway, I like her better than I like whatever the heck was here. Oh, so do you remember, by the way, when, and I just saw this that came out, because there was a presser with Jen Psaki earlier, or just the regular back and forth. Did you see the headline when, everyone's like, oh, Biden says that he finally calls it a crisis. Remember that over the weekend? I knew they were going to walk it back. He, like, for instance, here's one. Biden finally calls migrant surge at border a crisis. He was talking about his cap on refugee numbers, and he was playing golf. He was actually heading home after playing golf. And he says, we're going to increase the number of refugees allowed in the country. Or he just said, we're going to increase the number. And then he was talking about refugees in the country. And they were asking him about, okay, well, what about the number of people who are entering the country illegally? And he said, listen, this was his quote. He goes, the problem was that the refugee part was working on the crisis that ended up on the border with young people. So he called it a crisis. His mouth physically called it a crisis. So immediately you had to know that was going to come up in the press conference today, or the press avail with Press Secretary Jen Psaki. She said that the president misspoke.
Oh,
Yeah, let's listen to this.
President Biden over the weekend called what happened at the border a crisis. Is that now the official White House position, that there is indeed a crisis at the border?
Well, let me first say that we have made some progress in moving children from out of Border Patrol facilities into shelters. Nearly 1,000 unaccompanied minors were transferred out of CBP facilities and into the care of Health and Human Services just this weekend. We are still have a lot of work to do, but that is a step forward in our view. The president does not feel that children coming to our border seeking refuge from violence, economic hardships, and other dire okay. circumstances
so
is a crisis.
He doesn't think it is.
That the crisis,
you know, the problem is that the president is old and feeble, and he barely knows where he is, much less what he. I mean, he eats Malto meal every day because it's all he can eat. So he doesn't. He misspoke because he can barely speak. So it was a misspeech. She didn't say that last part, but might as well go ahead and do it because it's essentially what you're doing. Every time he says something that's awkward for them, they immediately, oh, he misspoke. As if he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. Don't you get that?
Oh, yeah.
Well, who says he misspoke? He's the president. Oh, who says, oh, he misspoke? Why wasn't that a follow-up? I would have been like, who says?
Right.
Who? Just curious. No, he misspoke. He's old and feeble. He misspoke. It makes it seem that way when that's really the only response. And he was quite clear with his word. Actually, I thought he was clearer and more articulate in that response that he was giving than he's been. You know what I mean? Previously, I'm just saying it seemed completely fine. But, that is not where, and that's not a good look. By the way, no one's asking this of Kamala. Isn't she the border czar? She was responsible for the border. Nobody's asked her about it, but you know.
Well, they did.
Do you have plans to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
Yeah, that was when they asked her that last week when it came out that she was going to be going to Central America, but not the border. So, no, not to the border. Okay. Just wondering. All right. Some of the other things that we are watching for today. I got a lot here. A couple of things as it relates to, for instance, Marxism, CRT in schools. This is actually a pretty significant story. For those of you who are struggling in your schools to fight CRT curriculum, just know that you can win. If parents can win against the Dalton in New York City, even I've heard of this school, and I don't even live anywhere near New York. And I have friends who know the school, but they don't send their kids there. It's like $53,000 a year, the school. I know, right? And it's not a school. It's not a college. It's a very elite New York City school. But parents have been super mad because they said that their kids are basically taught how to be racist with this critical race theory stuff. They said that it's obsessive. In fact, one of the parents, Jim Best, said that he's going to see the year out. One of the guys that works there, he's the head of it. He's leaving because a parent wrote this letter, sent this anonymous letter to the school this week, blasting the school for its obsessive focus on race and identity, is what he said. They even apparently did racist cop reenactments in their science class. They had a decentering whiteness lessons in their art class. It's crazy. And so Jim Best he's resigned because apparently was behind the wokery. One of the people behind the wokery, but one of the bigger people behind the wokery. It's pretty unbelievable. And they had white supremacy courses and all this stuff, and the parents were done with it. So this guy's resigning. And that's, I think, pretty significant because that school is as far left as you can get. I mean, I think Marx is their mascot. Now, here's interesting. Biden has a new educational rule. He's looking to push, obviously, officially critical race theory on U.S. schools. He has a new educational rule that's going to give priority in funding to history and civics programs that include critical race theory indoctrination. This is really significant. The story, which was written by Stanley Kurtz, the woke revolution, because that's what this is. It looks at the Department of Education. They've signaled their intent to impose some pretty radical forms of CRT on the schools. So you not just you don't just have the 1619 Project, but you also have the Ibram Kendi anti-racism, which teaches that there's no such thing as an anti-racist, that you're a racist no matter what. There's no redemption for you, no grace for you. I mean, that's what it teaches. So they're going to, they released text, and we're going to dive into this deeper tomorrow, but they released the text of these rules that they're proposing to establish priorities in determining grants for American history and civics education. So it's actually not going to focus on American history or civics. It's going to focus on the Marxist theory of critical race. That's what this is all about. We're going to talk about that in depth this week, because this is something else that you need to watch for in your kids' classroom.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
So I'm going to talk tomorrow about how Manal Morrissey, I don't like him anymore now, because he was too offended over The Simpsons and he said that they're mean and racist. It's also literally a cartoon. And then Demi Lovato is mad at a LA frozen yogurt shop because they don't have good diet options or something like that. I don't know. It's literally a small business during a pandemic. Get the hell over yourself, Karen. All right, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Today in stupidity.
Karen. All right, Kamala Harris. Boy, she's had some doozies. This one was pretty good today, though, I thought. So let's listen to this.
In the 21st century, in America, I believe you should not have to work more than one job to be able to pay your bills and feed your family.
All right, so on the surface, that sounds like a decent sentiment, right?
Caramel M&M's for life.
Right. Like, I believe we should breathe really deep in the morning and then not have to breathe the rest of the day. Like, that's how absurd.
Bothers you that much?
It does. It bothers me a lot. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk more about that tomorrow. Save that audio. We'll talk more about that tomorrow. We're out of time today. Dana Radio or DanaLash.com. Make sure you go sign up for Chapter and Verse, the newsletter. Back with you tomorrow.